Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Streets Ahead, your podcast dedicated to all things cycling, walking and wheeling in the UK and beyond. I'm Ned Bolting.
I'm Adam Tranter.
And I'm Laura Laker.
And this time we're on foot. I've actually come on my bike. I was otherwise engaged having some photographs taken while you lot were having a little mini adventure. I was planning to be part of it, but I'm not part of the adventure.
You missed it. It just took too long.
We were doing genuinely important active travel.
Yes. Is it
though? Was it important?
I mean,
to who?
Are we stretching the bounds of the remit of the podcast a little bit here with what's coming up?
I mean, we were walking.
We were on foot, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
We weren't really going anywhere though, were we?
Yeah, it was really more travel, about the... was it?
Yeah.
It was active, but without the travel, I would suggest.
More about the journey than destination.
More about the journey than destination. What are you doing?
Apparently this is my birthday present for my colleagues. I didn't realise until I got there.
All right.
We went mudlarking.
Happy birthday, Adam.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Mudlarking, which is an ancient activity almost of people.
How ancient?
I don't know.
When did it start, Adam? When was the first mudlarker?
Did the Romans go mudlarking in the Thames?
Who coined the phrase?
Because they were the first people to really sort of populate the Thames, weren't they, the Romans? So what were they mudlarking for?
They weren't mudlarking.
Yeah.
I think
they didn't care about the past, probably, did they? They just cared about world domination.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm rapidly looking for some information.
Okay. All right. Let's just go with old. It's quite a well-established tradition.
A mudlark is someone who scavenges the banks and shores of rivers for items of value, a term used especially to describe those who scavenged this way in London during the late 18th and 19th century.
Aww.
Okay. Yeah.
And we saw loads of, you know, loads of things. Not all of it was brilliant or rare or useful, but it was this very strange portal into London's history. And it kind of makes sense when you think about it, because the Thames has historically just been a sort of rubbish bin for societies.
It was.
So we went on this activity. You need a permit to go mudlarking, so we went through an organised tour and it was quite good fun.
It was really good fun. Yeah, we found all sorts. We found there was a bit of Tudor pottery that Chris found.
Well, no spoilers.
No. I don't think I mentioned that actually.
Oh,
did you mention it?
Right.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, there were many things, old and new. One surprising visitor, which we weren't expecting or wanted really in the end.
This is such bad clickbait. We had a good time.
Clickbait. I think you're fine.
It was active. We were walking. We were on our feet. It was interesting way to find London, to explore London, find out more about London. And I think the Venn diagram of people who like walking and cycling and transport and urbanism and the kind of people that might forage around the shores of the River Thames might be a circle. So
that's true. Although on the other hand, well, we'll hear it in a second, but that's true. But on the other hand, I don't think it's a criterion to choose topics, because the same could probably be said about cups of tea, and we're not going to do an episode all about cups of tea.
Aren't we? Oh, that was on my list.
Well, let's see how the mudlarking one goes first anyway. Here's Adam and Laura going mudlarking.
Hello. If you listen carefully, you can hear a man playing some form of instrument the other side of Millennium Bridge, and that is because I am stood the other side of Millennium Bridge on the what's called the foreshore on a walk with Laura Laker. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Ned Balking's on his way.
We think Ned's on his way. Is he actually on his way? Okay. He said he'd come, but also said he had a photo shoot, which is, very glamorous. And we're mudlarking.
Don't dig, don't scrape, don't pick things up to look under them. It is literally, stare at a patch of ground. What can you see? You can pick it up. Usually when I'm out with the primary school, some child will find some whopping great big chain and try and get it out of the foreshore, and of course it won't. So you don't try and dig anything out. If it comes up, it is fine. But as I say, even scraping like this with your foot is a no. At the end, we get together so we can sort of lay out what we've found. You can take photographs of it, but without a permit, you're not supposed to be removing anything. So basically, at the end, we shall scatter it back to Father Thames. Obviously, I've got lots of stuff because I go and give talks and I work with schools. So I've got a collection that I use that I've taken to exhibitions and things. But actually, strictly speaking, nothing I've got is mine. If at any point Stuart from the Museum of London says, oh yeah, Chris, you remember that thing I recorded? I want it. Then I have to hand it over. And also, if the Museum of London wants it, I don't get anything for it. It's not like metal detecting in a field, you know, where usually you would get half the value and the landowner gets half the value. With this, you don't get anything at all, apart from the prestige of having found it.
Pottery, age to be determined. Could be Roman.
Could be
Roman, judging by the colour. It's a sort of, I guess, a terracotta colour, shiny on the inside, suggesting it was a vessel to hold water. I think my pottery ancestors would have called this, I don't know, hollowware.
Hollowware, okay.
As opposed to flatware.
You know a weird amount about pots.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was a potter.
Potter?
Yeah, a professional potter. Had one of the largest pottery factories in the West Midlands.
Amazing.
In Soak,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. Good
That's
fact.
That's amazing.
Chris, I found a piece of pottery.
Oh, yeah.
Roman?
So,
let's down gently.
Lesson number one.
Yeah.
If it's glazed, which that is,
it's
very unlikely to be Roman.
Oh, they didn't glaze?
Very rarely.
Didn't have the technology?
Yes, but very rarely did. My gut feeling to that is probably Georgian.
Chris Webb, you are a Thames Explorer Trust historian who's leading us across the foreshore to the greatest archaeological finds of our lifetime, potentially. Or
they will be of our lifetime, won't they?
Yeah,
it will so far. you were telling us just up there, Chris, about all these old-fashioned disposable vapes, and you were not joking. There are loads of these little tubes everywhere. You're just picking one up. Yeah, could you tell me the story about these?
So clay pipes were invented for people to smoke tobacco once tobacco came into the country about 1580, and then they'd gone out early 20th century. I mean, certainly by the point that men went to the First World War, they were all smoking roll-ups.
Right, got it. And so you can get lots of different types and lots of different ends to them. As well, and you showed us this beautiful one of a face, although I don't feel like I'm going to find one of those. Okie dokes. Well, I'm going to have a look. I'm going to try and keep looking around, and I'm going to show you what I find.
Thank you.
Scott, you're looking very, very thoughtful. What have you found?
Well, I think I'm distinctly in that mindful moment where I'm staring at a beach full of stones very close up. And have found three very small bits of porcelain.
Yeah, it's impressive that. You can see the patterns coming through, can't you?
Yeah, nice blue and white ones there. I don't know, we'll have to confer with the
age.
The lady mudlarker, the queen of the mudlarks as to what they are.
I should probably actually start looking rather than recording. I might find something.
Where are your knee pads?
Knee pads, yeah. This is what the real professional mudlarkers wear. They have special knee pads and they just basically stare at the ground and crawl forward like a baby.
There's great excitement. V has found an inflatable shark that's washed up on the shore. It's kind of gross because it's got like some kind of foamy water on it. But it is someone's inflatable shark that's gone missing. How long do you think it's been at sea for, at river?
I'd say about a month.
It's got a bit of a patina of grub on it, hasn't it? Thames grub. Probably Thames poop,
to be honest. Elizabethan, to me.
Elizabethan inflatable shark.
Yeah. Glaze on it.
Yeah, it's got the glaze.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
What are you going to do with your find? Take it to the British Museum?
I mean, I want to keep it, but you're not allowed to keep things, apparently.
I don't think anyone's going to miss that shark.
Return him to sea?
No, I think it's just littering. I think you should keep it.
Okay. Maybe you can have a place in the office.
Yeah, I think so. I think you should pin him up on the wall. Not through the inflatable bit. Wow, this is a big day for mudlarking.
I mean, I don't think they've ever found something so spectacular. He just came floating down the Thames.
It saw V and it swam to her. He's probably glad to see land. He thought he'd never reach land again. Carrying on here, walking across the shingle. Kind of got to a area of, it's like a graveyard for all bits of wood, all sticking out of the beach, foreshore, higgledy piggledy, the remains of an old dock. Heading for Chris. Hello, have you found anything, Chris?
No, not really, but
no.
That's a bit of Tudor. What's
Tudor? Oh, wow! It looks like a leopard print jug.
Place.
Wow.
So it's a bit of one of those.
Wow. Oh, this is a, what would you call that?
Bartman jug.
A what?
Bartman. Bearded man.
Wow. Bartman.
Bartman. German Bartman. For bearded man.
Wow. That's
so
beautiful.
It's that spotty glaze.
Wow.
Everybody always wants the face. They always have a face on
them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess this is amazing. They call the Thames foreshore, it's like a kind of open archaeological site. Hundreds of years of London history all in one place.
Yeah, thousands.
Thousands of years of history. There's someone over there on his knees with a, what do you call that?
Sieve.
A sieve. Yeah, that's a sieve, Laura. It's known as a sieve.
He's one of the Society of Mudlarks, so they have a higher level of permits.
Okay.
So they're allowed to dig down to a certain depth.
Kind of a nice thing to do, quite relaxing. Mm-hmm. Walk along the shore, pick up bits off the floor.
Fresh air.
Bit of fresh air. It's quite a good breeze. I have not worn my gloves, foolishly. And what are you going to do with this piece of pottery?
Give it back to Father Thames.
Yeah.
But you can show it to people at the end.
Okay.
For now.
Okay. I won't pretend I found it.
The children always do. Whenever I give one of the children something, they say, you know, they take it back to teach. They say, look what I found. And they're like, oh, you liar. So you're better behaved.
Oh, thank you. What's the best thing you've ever found?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say I've got anything amazing, but anything that gets recorded for the Portable Antiquities Scheme.
Yeah.
Because it's a really good research tool. And I do enjoy this because it is the history of ordinary people. You know, it's not the kings, it's not the queens. Ordinary people like us, somebody 1,000 years ago leaves a little fingerprint in a piece of pottery and then I found it. And you just think that could be it. That could be the only thing that shows they ever existed. So I like that.
That's kind of amazing. Mm. We do just tend to hear about the people with a lot of money and, you know, because I guess their lives got recorded. But most of us are descended from just ordinary people, aren't we? Who just would have gone about their lives quietly, just, you know, tried to make the best of it. And we never would have known, we wouldn't have known anything about them.
Well, no photographs of them, not famous enough to have portraits painted. Mm. So they came, they went.
Yeah, makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Puts a bit of perspective on things.
Increasingly, we've got various exhibitions that happen and people come and show their best finds and you can chat to them.
Yeah.
So that's quite nice. There's one coming up this month.
Yeah.
At Waterman's Hall. But yeah, I mean, we have the Thames Festival in September.
Okay.
And then that's a month-long festival. So last year, I exhibited some of my finds for the first time. So we did one at St Paul's Cathedral. I did one at National Maritime Museum in Greenwich.
Wow.
So anyone can go along and see some of the things. There is a little permanent exhibition now at Southwark Cathedral as well.
Kind of meditative as well. It you is. Get to be outside, like you said, yeah. We're walking.
I think this is why it got quite popular during lockdown, people getting some outdoor space. It's sort of connected into, I think, more of a thinking about mental health. I think if you do have issues in your life, this is a hobby that you can get really absorbed in. So when you're staring at that little patch to see what you can see, you're not thinking about other things. I think it's like painting in that regard. You're really absorbed in what you're doing and you can leave everything else behind.
But that's the thing. I mean, like you said, you never know what one side could turn up. I mean, because Alan, who we've both met, I mentioned I'd met someone on the Thames foreshore once who was mudlarking and had found a Roman lamp, and Chris said, oh, that's probably Alan. And sure enough, I'd saved his number in my phone and it was Alan. But he found a Roman lamp.
No, I mean, that's probably his find of a lifetime. You're not going to find another Roman lamp.
No, I mean, for it to survive in the water.
It would have come out of the mud.
And of course, you get ye olde lime scooters coming down here. You found a lot of iPhones, like you said.
Yeah, there's a Boris bike there. You see?
Oh my God, a ruined bike.
Yeah, that's been here for all the years that I've been here, that bike.
So how long?
Eaten. Well, I've been doing this for 13 years and it's been here the whole time.
Wow.
Slowly being eaten by the foreshore.
Wow, and it's all tangled up in some rope, so yeah. It doesn't really, and it's heavy, so it doesn't really move.
And then you see the tyres are now coming off it.
Wow.
So this is quite a nice way to walk if you're sort of into walking, into that kind of thing. You have to watch your feet, of course, because, well, it's a bit uneven. But it is absolutely fascinating. It tells us lots about society, as I guess history does. Well, it tells us a lot about throwaway culture as well, which the Victorians did as good or maybe even better than us, because the Thames is just a dumping ground, just a throwaway, like a garbage bin of everything, really.
It's,
oh, there's a traffic cone. Oh, I'm going to let Will Norman know about his bike, though. But I'm going to, and hopefully Chris will show us in a second, where we're unleashing our finds now and getting told how rubbish they are. Let's have a look.
What have we found so far?
Yeah, that looks like coal, yeah. So that was probably on its way over there.
Yeah, a little metal handle
or something. Trouble with this, it's so hard to date because it rusts really fast. So that's your Victorian IKEA.
That's my thing.
Oh, right.
What's everybody's own favourite piece?
Okay.
I find Rose, but this one.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
That's well cute.
So it's probably Victorian. It's probably a little bit of a cup.
Almost quite modern, the design.
You're thinking like a little teacup.
Ahead of its time.
Okay.
Oh, nice teeth.
So I found two bits of animal teeth. And there's one here as well. And any of these?
That's your Tudor there.
Oh, okay.
So that's there.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can see it's got this really kind of cracked, thick glaze. But you can see that's been painted by hand, that little blue stripe.
Oh, okay. And that would be the oldest thing I have then, the Tudor bit. And the green stuff, that's also, the Victorians like green, didn't they?
So that's medieval, possibly Tudor. So that would be the oldest that we've
had. That one?
Yeah, and we've had a few bits today.
Is that a tooth?
Yeah, that's a tooth. Lots of teeth.
So you don't need to call the Museum of London at all?
No, I think we're good.
That was great.
All right, well, that was excellent. Did you enjoy your day? You obviously did.
Yeah, it was such great fun.
I'm quite jealous. Yeah,
we found the bit that I can't stop thinking about is the little pipes, the clay pipes that we found. They were everywhere.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And I wonder if I wonder if in a couple hundred years' time, people will be going, vapes. Oh, it's a disposable vape. and whether that will be the modern day clay pipe, the clay pipe of the future. perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole sort of modern story of rubbish in the Thames is quite interesting. Do you remember when I went on that Creekside walk up? I was telling you about that. And actually, my guide there had a very counterintuitive take about rubbish in the Deptford Creek, saying, actually, you know, this rabid sort of like desire to clean it and take out all the shopping trolleys and all the other bits and pieces, it's not necessarily a good idea for the little fish species who need
sheltering. Yeah, they need shelter trolleys.
And they kind of like they build it into their environment in the same way that if a tree were to fall in, you know, and that would become part of the riverbed. And actually, you've got to think about it necessarily in a slightly more nuanced way than that.
Yeah.
He drew the line at a line bike. It was stuck in the mud.
Yeah, the battery is probably not that good for the river.
Yeah, we had a Boris bike. And the inflatable shark as well, which was a highlight. But we did a bit. We were able to clean up the river at the same time.
And then put everything back.
And put everything
back. Apart from the shark.
Yeah.
From the shark.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to put the stuff back. Mudlarking since 1906 has not been a valid occupation
because you're not allowed to make any money out of it.
Yes, exactly. So it is something you need a license for. So have a Google of mudlarking in the Thames if you want to find out more. Do a bit of walking.
What was Chris's company? Do you remember that took us on the mudlarking things?
I'll leave it in the show notes.
It'll be in the show
good
notes.
Idea. Good idea.
In the meantime, you've been listening to Streets Ahead. Our editor has been Claire Mansell. Let us know what you think at Pod Streets Ahead. Rate us and review us, and share the podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. And you can now also become a supporter on Patreon. Links for that and many of the things we've discussed, well, that really, the mudlarking thing, in this episode are in the show notes.
Literal rubbish.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.